Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Faking Movies.
No monkey sounds?
I don't even know what you're doing this
monkey
time.
Monkey sound
dude.
Seems like the obvious
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Little does our guest Lucas know how appropriate these sounds will be later.
And the nightmare he's in for.
You'll be surprised.
So, this is episode 40, mm-hmm. the Ruby anniversary.
The Corundum anniversary.
Uh-huh.
Rubies are a variety of Corundum. Which is an aluminum oxide. Sapphires and rubies are the same thing.
I know you're a geologist and all, but I hate to correct you, but it's pronounced aluminium?
Ah.
Go back to England.
Yeah. Très bien!
You tosser.
I thought you said hoser. It was like, that's the wrong combo.
I said tosser with no English accent. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, hoser's way funny.
This is a rough start.
Yeah, as always, check out fakingmovies.com, which, of course, was gifted to us by our guest tonight, Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Check out
Go ahead. No.
All right, so WordPress also.
I bought you that so you would stop hocking your WordPress like a bunch of jabronis.
Well, we don't know how to put anything onto the website. That's the problem.
Yeah. Jabroni is a cool word, though.
Yeah. Pre-show, we
That's
recorded a little bit of
hoser.
Wrestling stuff about the Von Erich family, but Jabroni is solidly the Rock.
The Dwayne Johnson,
proudest member of the Anoa'i wrestling dynasty, which started way ago in the 1950s with the High Chief Peter Maivia, and I'll stop now.
Yeah,
the High Chief.
Oh. Anyway. Lee, I just realized something. Is that what you feel like when I go off on a rant about something that you don't care about?
We're doing podcast therapy right now.
Yeah. So it is our 40th anniversary. We brought back our first ever guest, Lucas.
Yes, I'm here.
And we are going... I know. Seth is the one who interrupts me. Haven't you been listening? God damn it. a lot of fun today. We are going to be doing just a hell of a movie. Lucas, do you want to... does anybody have anything they want to add before we get started?
No, let's just get into the shit show.
Yeah, we're going to need all the time we can get.
So, we really are. So, Lucas, why don't you tell the people all the way from England to our houses... what movie we
But no further west.
And everything in between, I guess. Like the Atlantic Ocean.
We have a strong following in Atlantis, I think, but you know.
Yeah.
So you guys gave me Any Which Way But Loose, and as a preface to this,
I'm gonna correct you. It's Every Which Way But Loose.
I also had trouble finding this movie because I kept searching for the thing Lucas said.
Can I give you a spoiler though? I'm gonna give you a spoiler. There's a sequel called Any Which Way You Can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Well, I'm gonna keep calling it Any Which Way But Loose probably.
That's fine. That's fine.
Anyway, okay, so I was harassing Zach to do a second episode of this like months ago because I needed to redeem myself after leaving out the incest and violence against women in Chinatown.
No.
We might have given you exactly the wrong movie in that case.
I'm going to give you another spoiler, Lucas. This, personally, in my life, I think this might be the first movie we've watched that I hated more than Chinatown.
Personal Chinatown?
This is my own personal Chinatown. Every Which Way But Loose is my own personal Chinatown.
Never forget.
Okay. But anyway, so you guys gave me this months ago, and I basically wrote a whole thing up. And by the time Zach went to give me names, I was like, no names, please. It would muddy the waters of what's crystal clear in my mind, and B, they're going to be 80s actors I won't recognize, and I'll be embarrassed. So,
these worlds are so clear in my mind, I can't. Yeah.
You're definitely right about that second part. Yeah. Like, you would recognize one name, and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a second person
two people that I recognize pretty easily. Okay.
Yeah, and a third that I looked up and then realized who it was.
Yeah.
But you are correct, Lucas. This is... Yeah.
So a minute ago, you blew away like a whole thing I had in my notes here about how...
Mm-hmm. As is my custom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a thing I think I know about this movie, and if it's true, then I've created this movie exactly. If it's not true...
Oh, good.
Then I haven't, but... I decided that I definitely was.
We got one really close, and I'm very excited. Yeah.
Also, if this is the one that you got really close, we have to end the podcast and start a different one because it is it's a one in a bajillion shot that you got this movie. Correct?
I've got an idea.
It's so insane.
I've got an idea for a backup podcast in this case, and it's me talking about wrestling while Seth sighs in the corner.
Even less popular than this one, yes.
Yeah. I didn't think that was possible.
Astonishingly.
So this fact that I'd actually decided I was wrong, because if I was right, then this movie would have won the Best Picture Oscar like 5 years in a row, and I definitely would have seen it. But
sure.
That fact is that it heavily features a monkey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. So you did not know that about this actual movie?
I thought I knew
Holy shit. I wasn't sure. Wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you had a vague knowledge that there was a movie with a title thought was right, and there was maybe a monkey in it.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Guessing that there's a monkey in a movie is such a long shot. That's very,
That's one of those things I feel like somebody told me at some point. Like, said monkey and the name of this movie in the same sentence, but I couldn't be sure.
I think that's fair. Anyway. That's totally fair.
Yeah. Well,
what's your plot?
Yeah. So, an uptight, socially awkward scientist who works in an animal laboratory somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, either Seattle or Portland, doesn't matter. He overhears that funding is being cut for his department, and the company's just going to kill the animals. So he decides to free the orangutan that he's quite fond of, and he goes on a run with him, taking him down the I-5 to California.
Local references. Good.
Yeah, California people love that.
Yeah.
If only any of them listened. Yeah.
All zero of them.
Yeah, I wish you guys had told me that there was nobody west of here that listened.
Yeah, it's fine.
So the first sort of place they stop is just a diner, and they go to get some food. And the man orders some food, and he orders the orangutan a banana. But the orangutan's more interested in stealing the cigarettes and lighter of the next patron over, who's this big, tough, like, trucker guy. The guy hates that and tries to fight the scientist. But the orangutan manages to use the peel of the banana to trip the guy so they can escape.
Pause.
Oh,
Lucas,
wow.
I love your movie.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's gonna get better from here.
Oh man, okay.
I find that hard to believe. You started off really good.
We're opening credit scene banana peel slip.
Opening credits. Opening credits is like them sneaking out of the lab.
Sure. Oh, it's pre-credits. Pre-title card.
We do those often, where the title card happens 40 minutes into the movie.
I guess that could be credits. Yeah, the sneaking out of the lab, and then okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
it's a real self-indulgent movie.
Yeah.
The next sort of stop is they just end up at a truck stop to gas up, and guy goes inside and he sees it on a TV that you know they're being looked for. People are looking for them, so he's like, "Shit, we need to change vehicles." So he looks around the parking lot for a car. And he sees this old beat up pickup truck, and he asks the guy running the convenience store if he knows whose it is. And the guy is like, "I don't know, but he'd be over next door, which obviously is a strip club." So they go over to the strip club, and the scientist asks around for the owner of the truck. And meanwhile, while this is happening, this is really the the second instance of this movie is just like the comedic things that you would do with a monkey in a movie.
Sure. You don't say.
So while he's looking around for the owner,
might almost say that it's mostly like they wrote the jokes first and then just slammed it into a script.
Correct. Yeah.
Sounds familiar-ish. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the monkey gets into all sorts of hijinks while the guy's looking around for the owner. So he's like, he climbs up on the stage. He's swinging around on the pole. The dancers love him.
Oh, yeah.
He's got like a pair of panties on his head. It's hilarious.
I love this monkey. Yes. This is an A1 top-notch monkey.
Yeah, it's a great monkey.
First ballot draft pick monkey. Yeah.
So, so at this point, we meet the and I don't know why this is a federal marshal, but we meet the federal marshal heading the investigation, the man slash monkey hunt.
Wait, can we make it an air marshal just for kicks? Because why
sure.
not?
That's fine.
Okay.
But he's.
Why would there be
yeah,
a
why?
Air
Wait,
marshal?
No. Don't let Zach get away with this. Why is he a air marshal?
How the fuck would there be an air marshal?
We're making a goof monkey movie. Like, fuck
why would there be an air marshal?
Let's make it.
I
want to
make
Nielsen
a second movie that's
it.
Monkeys on a plane now.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck
okay,
yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah, yeah. That, if you're telling me that's your plan, then I'm fine with it. Let's.
It's
yeah.
not, but. I'll just let Zach have his little toy
tell
play.
Me that?
I regret saying this. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, sorry. So this guy, you know, I didn't really put actors to any of these people, but this guy I was thinking looks like a sort of like a Tommy Lee Jones or like a Brian Cox in a cowboy
that's
hat
right.
with like big aviator sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Brian
cop.
Cox
good
for
cop.
It. Yeah,
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 yeah.
This is very
Tommy
good.
Lee is very hard to work with. We don't want to fuck with.
I've
that.
Heard
yeah.
that before.
Yeah,
it's actually a small part. It's mostly, you know. They're interviewing him at a podium that he's on the hunt for this man and this monkey. And he he goes, we got a man and a wild, dangerous animal on the loose. And he dramatically removes his sunglasses and looks right down the barrel and says the wrong title of the movie. We got a man any which way but.
Oh, this is shaping up good, yes.
Close, yeah. Close enough, bro. Close
yeah, you really enough. You really put a sword in my heart there, Lee. Telling me I got the name of the movie wrong.
You should suck to 1978 if you want that sword pulled out.
I think misquoting the title in this movie that you're crafting is perfect for this movie that you're crafting.
Either that or we can blame Zach for telling me the wrong name and me internalizing that wrong name.
That works.
Anyway.
I mean, we'll get to this later, but does it really matter what the title of this movie is? I suggest
super duper
no.
Fucking
yeah. My thinking was no, and I had a whole like page of trying to say, here's a movie that might be a mountain monkey, and here's how the title would make any sense at all.
Yeah.
And I have a list of them, and I'll do that at the end.
I'm pretty sure already so far the one that you chose makes way more sense.
Yeah. Seems right. Seems right.
Okay.
Take absolutely no effort to make more sense than this fucking movie.
So basically we cut back to like fun road trip montage mode of the scientist and the orangutan driving around in this beat up pickup truck. The monkey continues smoking the cigarettes he stole from the guy. He, you know, does funny things like flip off other drivers and throw shit at people. He looks up women's skirts.
Perfect.
It's an 80s monkey movie. So
would you say that he's monkeying around?
He is monkeying around for sure. He is 100% monkeying around.
Wow, good combo size.
Yeah,
that was
so during this phase, you sort of see the scientist visibly loosen up and stop, you know, stop worrying so much. He starts wearing a pair of aviator sunglasses that the monkey stole for him at a, you know, a truck stop. And he starts laughing at the antics of the monkey. they begin to run low on funds, but serendipitously, they come across a dance contest with a $1,000 prize. I don't.
Yep.
I'm seeing some reactions here, and I don't know how to gauge them. But anyway,
cool.
So there's this big set piece where they have the dance contest, and the orangutan's wearing this glittery sequined gown, and of course they win because they're just such good dancers. But they take their $1,000 and they get back on the road. So,
oh god.
So this is about.
Wait, Seth. See if you can help me with this. See if you... On the road again.
No, I'm not gonna.
Going places that we've never been.
Nope.
I'm not gonna indulge. Nope. This, no.
Okay. So this is about the second act climax. It's just one night.
Okay.
They're walking around. They've made it pretty far. They're in L.A. They're walking down the street in L.A. one night, and they get mugged.
Okay. Good. I was hoping for some second act shenanigans.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
And the mugger has a knife, which the orangutan wrestles away from him, but not without taking a nasty knife wound.
Oh no!
Monkey knife fight.
That was.
Shit, you're right.
You don't say.
That was my favorite pastime.
I didn't do that on purpose, but anyway. So the scientist, fortunately, he knows a former coworker at the lab who's now a veterinarian in L.A., so he takes him there.
Oh.
And the vet's able to stitch up the monkey, and he's going to be okay. But he confronts the man, saying, you can't keep dragging this orangutan all over the place. Like, what's your end game here? What are you trying to
do? This orangutan is going to turn 21 at some point and become
like,
very sexually aggressive.
Like, how does this end in your mind? So... they decide together to get the orangutan, just go further south and get him to the San Diego Zoo. So they
get... Wait, is that a thing you can do if you just show up with a monkey?
I don't think you can surrender animals to the zoo.
Yeah, but it's a movie. Yeah.
They probably would. I don't know. They probably would take an animal.
That's a more sane.
If you showed up with an animal and you were like, I don't know what to do with this animal, they would at the very least probably take it in and get it to the place that it needs to go.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. No. So
right. I just like that. That's a real silly premise. Like, where do monkeys live? The zoo. All right, we're going to the zoo.
Well, if anyone who listens to our show works at or has ever worked at a zoo, please write in and let us know.
I have a friend that currently works at a zoo. I will ask her.
My best friend, former guest of the show, Jess, worked at a zoo.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, her sister also worked at a zoo.
Famously.
Yeah.
I thought Zach was going to call me on lab scientists don't just become veterinarians.
Oh. Eh,
given
they probably
that he's
do.
Yeah.
I'm willing to overlook that. That's fine.
It's a movie, dude. You got to suspend your disbelief.
Yeah.
I mean, monkey doing all these other things is a little bit more crazy.
Is there any monkey karate scenes coming up? Because I'm very interested in that.
We already had one. He won a knife fight.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true. I was gonna say we could work in them like just taking karate classes, even though
I'm in it for
trip.
Monkey wearing.
Yeah, I want that.
That's what I'm in it for.
Yeah.
So
the monkey being like a higher belt than Clint Eastwood is. That's what I'm in it for.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh, so this is a Clint Eastwood movie? Cool.
Oh shit!
you dumbass dickbag! You just spoiled it all.
Again,
no, it doesn't matter
I
at this point.
Yeah, like you said, it's not going to change anything.
I didn't cast any of these people in my mind except for like the Brian Cox one, but
yeah,
in my mind,
except for the monkey, you knew which monkey it was gonna be.
Is it an orangutan?
Yeah, you knew
it is an orangutan.
Did I make this movie exactly?
Well, you've hit a bunch of points.
You're way closer than you have any business being.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you'll find out.
Okay.
So
I'd sort of pictured the main guy being like this really sort of dweeby guy. I was picturing like the main guy from Revenge of the Nerds or something. Some guy that you know,
David Carradine?
Sure.
What? That wasn't David Carradine.
Oh, it was David Carradine's brother.
I was just saying sure to whatever Lee said because I don't know that guy's name.
It doesn't matter. Let's move on.
Wasn't it Anthony?
Do the thing.
No.
Anthony Edwards is the secondary main character of Revenge of the Nerds, Seth.
Okay. Anyway, so After the monkey heals up, they get
leave
back
my
on
typing road. Sounds in, Zach. I want Robert Carradine, David's brother.
Yeah, Louis Skolnick Bobby. Was his name in the movie, but
I feel like
Robert
I'm
Carradine, David Carradine's nerdy ass brother.
Yeah, Robert Carradine. Wow, and Anthony Edwards and. Oh, friend of the show, Curtis Armstrong.
Scene?
Wow, I just.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is way worse when you can physically watch the seconds tick by on your computer.
Yeah, we also went on this long tangent at this weird point where I was about to say something that would have connected directly to what I just talked about.
Oh,
and now it's
perfect.
Weird.
Oh, no, just do it. Just
okay,
go for it.
Yeah,
but no, so
dive in.
So after this sort of dramatic turn, they get back on the road, and it starts to look like a freewheeling buddy comedy again. Except that you can sort of see that there's a more serious look on the scientist's face again. I thought it would be nice if there was a detail where like a streetlight glare reveals through his sunglasses and he's got like a tear rolling down his cheek.
Oh, I like that. Because
it's like he
knows what he has to do.
Right.
But he's never had a friend like this monkey.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's this sort of more serious tone to the last third of the movie. You know, it becomes more of a chase because the police are after them at this point. But they manage to reach the zoo and the orangutan gets taken in, but the cops get there just behind them and they arrest the guy. This is a very emotional scene as like the cops are like dragging him away and he's like trying to struggle and say goodbye to the monkey. The monkey being a monkey and totally irreverent, he's flipping the man off because he's like, yeah.
This is what people like. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We jump to the man's trial, specifically his sentencing. Mm-hmm. He's found guilty and sentenced to community service. And in the final...
I think I know. Okay.
In the final scene of the movie, we see the man in a khaki jumpsuit sweeping a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. He stops, puts his broom down, and leans against some metal bars. We pan back slowly to reveal that it's the San Diego Zoo.
Yes, of course it is. Yes!
The man pulls a box of cigarettes out of his jumpsuit, puts two in his mouth, lights them, and holds one out to his left.
Oh,
our favorite orangutan enters the frame, taking the cigarette and clapping the man on the shoulder with a hand. The man smiles.
Oh.
Theme.
So how many Oscars? Like 6, 7, 10?
I told you, it would win Best Picture 5 years in a row if this was the movie.
Yeah. So Lucas, when I became mildly obsessed with this movie over the past week when I rewatched it for the show. And I yelled at everyone in my vicinity, and by that I mean all my employees who had to stand there and listen to me.
Yeah, you know.
And I said to them, and I says to Mabel, I said, but I said to them,
Jesus.
R.I.P. Simpsons.
Simpsons isn't dead yet, is it?
It's been dead for a while.
Depends on how you look at it, I think, yeah.
It's a shambling corpse.
And I would say to them, I would walk up to them, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but we're getting into the actual
I'm done, so you can spoil whatever you want.
Yeah,
it's time.
I would say to them, hey, like, 20-year-old kid who doesn't know who Clint Eastwood is, if I told you that Clint Eastwood was in a movie with a monkey and they just drove around and did shit, you'd say that was a great movie, wouldn't you? And they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Kids.
Please let me go. Am I fired? And I'd be like, no, it sucks.
Is this like an attack on millennials?
Accused of cheating if this is a movie about Clint Eastwood and a monkey driving around doing stuff. Because
it's
that's exactly
literally
what
exactly
that.
That
is
yes.
exactly
it's,
this
that
movie.
That is
yeah.
the entire movie. Yeah.
Seth, do you have the IMDb pulled up?
I sure do.
Yeah. You want to read that shit?
All right, Lucas, you ready for this
shit show
of a one-sentence
And then
summary?
I'll have a slightly more in-depth summary, but only slightly.
Yeah.
God, let's hope, yeah.
Okay. Well, Every Which Way But Loose, which is a 1978 comedy?
So unclear.
It
so
sure
unclear.
Does claim to be a comedy.
Yeah. It's a comedy with no jokes. No,
not even on paper.
So, the San Fernando Valley Adventures of trucker-turned-prizefighter Philo Beddo and his pet orangutan, Clyde.
That's it?
That's it. That's what they say.
That's wow. it.
Well, that's to be fair, that is accurate for the movie. Like, what happens? I don't know. Nothing. There's a monkey and a guy, and he drives a truck. That's
so
it. That's the whole fucking
there's
thing.
There's some Nazis.
There are kind of some Nazi bikers.
They're wearing, like, SS stuff.
Oh, they're swastikas.
They are wearing swastikas,
sure.
You're right.
And, like, Maltese crosses and shit. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
So for the last few episodes, we as a collective have been talking about how we want to try to get our summaries shorter, and very mixed results there. But for this movie,
not mixed, unanimously bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way
unilaterally.
There isn't a way in which we could make a long summary. It's not possible.
You could make it the actual movie.
You could
read the script.
We could read the script to
but
the movie.
Yeah.
Which is somehow 2 hours long.
Impossibly long.
It's
so inconceivable.
So for just a slightly more in-depth, really brief summary, Clint Eastwood plays a trucker who makes most of his money by doing bare-knuckle boxing tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a pet monkey named Clyde. He meets he's an orangutan. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He meets a country singer at a bar who he is like falls in love with, and she kind of like grifts him a little bit and then skips town. And then him and his best friend jump on the road with Clyde, the orangutan, and they follow her to her hometown. Along the way, he runs afoul of a biker gang and a bunch of cops. And his best friend picks up a girlfriend at a roadside fruit stand, and then she just lives with them from now on.
Yeah.
His best friend's mom has a long, tedious side plot about trying to get a driver's license. And
has, like, an elephant gun filled with, like, burning pitch. It's astounding.
Yeah.
That she just shoots a bunch of people. Oh, man.
Yeah. And then by the end, they make it to Denver, which is where that girl happened to live. And he bangs her and then finds out that she was just grifting him. Mm-hmm. And then he decides not that he doesn't like her anymore. And then he gets into a bare knuckle fight mm-hmm. with a legendary bare knuckle fighter, and he decides to let that guy win because he feels bad for him. And that's the end of the fucking movie.
Yep.
It's so hard not to interrupt you during that. Yeah, but that was very good. Okay, yeah, so you nailed it. That was like 1 minute. Commendations for
yeah,
that.
But, I interrupted yeah. you only yeah. once. Good on, man, good on like, me. Clap, Seth. Yeah.
Well done, Seth.
You guys are very self-congratulatory about just not being assholes to each other.
Well, Lucas, you know, so...
this is the 40th anniversary. Somebody's yeah. got to keep the dog, okay? All right?
God damn.
The dog that we bought in episode 25.
I was going to say, yeah. that dog's just dead from nobody feeding it, right?
Yeah. Probably. Well, we covered that a few episodes ago, I think.
Yeah, probably lost it.
So, Lucas, this movie's fucking terrible, but I know we all have things really to say about it, so where do we want to start?
Yep.
I mean, my notes are mostly linear throughout the thing, but they're mostly just observations and making fun of people that I thought looked like other people. So,
sure. Well, all right, let's try to go in order to make it sort of expedient.
Yeah, we'll try to jump in chronologically, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the theme song of this movie, it has its own bespoke theme song, which was clearly written by people who had no idea what the movie was about.
Well, you could describe people that don't know what the movie's about as all people ever in the universe. Because, like, so
I think you're going to say the director. The director doesn't know what
yeah,
the movie's
about. Yeah, he's in there.
I could
sure,
be wrong.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that the theme song existed, and they just gave that name to the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that is weird.
I feel like I read that.
Explain why the title doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. The theme song does come back way too often. It's in every part of the movie, and it's
every which way but loose. You turn me every which way but loose.
I feel like they're trying
what
to use it as like a no one knows. No one knows.
So it's I think I figured it out. It's in reference to the girl that the main character is obsessed with, and it's like you do everything to me except turn me loose. Like I can't quit.
Well, that's a stupid fucking title.
Yeah, okay. I think you're being generous, but that seems plausible. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I have a I have an opening credit sequence one.
Is it about the music supervisor named Snuff Garrett?
Whoa! Wait, Snuff Barrett, rhythm guitarist for Nickelback? That seems weird.
No.
That's
no.
is that
imagine
any
if
worse
you were
than...
like a movie director and your first name was Snuff and how no actress
Is that any worse than Snuffy Waldorf, the guy who does all the music
hey,
for
man,
the West
he's
Wing?
A composer and he's a classy dude and the West Wing music is great.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, hold on.
And then the end titles, which is we're going to have to go to Congress and talk about these abortion laws.
The West Wing history class talked about that a bunch. I don't think he intended that to be the end of the episode.
I should hope
not. But they just did. But there's a bunch of there's a bunch of episodes that end with like the most somber note ever. And then just like a cut to black. And they're like, okay, but wait like 3 seconds before you start playing the dude.
Yeah, yeah. That music always reminded me of the Hyrule Field music from Ocarina of Time.
Yep, I just got that in my head.
Yep.
Good.
Uh-huh. Seth, can you play it on the Ocarina for us right now?
Not that song. I just mostly want to listen to that Gerudo Valley song.
Oh, that's the best one.
That's good shit.
Especially with Busta Rhymes rapping over it.
Oh, I didn't know that happened. But,
Yeah, that's a Team Teamwork song from years ago.
All of this is so much more interesting than the fucking movie.
I was going to say, this has gone really off the rails, but somehow better, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so Zach, right, so what you're going to say about the opening credits.
Yeah, so the opening credits, the song plays, they roll credits, and then it stops, they... Oh, boy.
Any which way but loose.
I got you saying the wrong title.
Oh, god damn it.
So it stops, and then he provokes a bar fight, beats the ever-loving shit out of this guy.
Oh, with redneck Stephen Fry. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
He walks away, and then they continue the song. And I thought, that's fucking weird. And yet, that happens throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
How long is that break?
You know what I really liked
it's
about
like
that
a minute
scene?
And a half, maybe? Like 90 seconds.
At most.
Seconds.
Like, yeah. It's establishing what I really liked about that scene is he goes into the bar.
I could see that working if it was like 30 seconds, maybe.
No, it's like, much longer than that.
Yeah,
it's
when you forget that the song was playing and then it comes back, that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
In that scene, he goes to the bar and he gets a beer, and it's one of those like 70s style, like 4 ounce beers,
little tiny baby ones.
Yeah, it's like I'm driving right now, but I really needed to stop into the bar, kind of.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, they also drink while driving at least twice in this movie. Yeah.
Yes, that's
true. Drinking plays in heavily.
Yeah. Again, I feel like I should have not left that out of the movie. That would have been classic. hijinks.
I assumed he's driving around with a monkey in the car. One of them is drinking.
Ape. Yeah.
Perhaps
my guy wasn't much of a drinker, I guess. Yeah. He was a uptight guy.
Yeah. Perhaps they were drinking some banana daiquiris.
Some banana daiquiris, one might say.
Where do you get a banana daiquiri at like a truck stop?
I don't know.
Nowhere without getting into a bar fight. I feel like if you say the word daiquiri in a truck stop bar,
you get
in the 70s, a bar fight happens immediately.
Seth, I think you told me a really good story one time about a friend of yours ordering a daiquiri at a bar and getting scoffed at until they realized it was just a glass of rum with lime.
Yeah, that an actual daiquiri is not a frozen daiquiri, but it's just rum, lime juice, and some
simple syrup, I think. Yeah,
either simple syrup or grenadine, depending on how you make it.
Yeah, and, that's the Hemingway one.
Yeah, and like I remember ordering these at a bar one time, and them like being like, "Uh-uh, you frou-frou college kids," and we're like, "No, fuck, we want some rum, assholes that don't taste like ass." So,
rum's an old man drink; it makes you smell real bad. But
hey,
sure enough,
well,
you sweat it out. Mm. All right, so this brings me. I'm gonna go to one of my last points, but I think it's important to bring up and establish early.
Oh, okay, sure.
So our fighting happens most in this movie.
Yeah.
The most.
Yeah.
And my
that's interesting phrasing. Yeah.
I like it.
So I wrote down near the end of the movie, are we to believe that in the 1970s you could roll into any town, no matter how small, and in one night or mere hours, you could arrange a street fight with some local guy and then like 100 to 200 like local townsfolk would just show up and watch you fight a guy for money.
200 people? That seems like quite a minute.
Every time.
Every single fight in this.
This
movie,
happens in like eight to ten times in this movie.
Factory in like.
I mean, it takes Brad Pitt and Ed Norton months to get like 34 guys.
Well, get like one like
78
yeah,
right. soft Seven, millennials. That's
yeah,
a
78 was
and
a
so.
Time.
Baby
this is
boomers
also like
liked
how...
watching men punch each other in the face.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
Yeah.
So this is the grift in the movie, is they roll into towns and Clint Eastwood is inexplicably like the best fighter in the entire universe and just fucking beats the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, the second fight he beats up like baby Slavo Žižek, which is pretty great. which I very much enjoy because, you know, he's just like, I just don't understand why you're punching me.
That's a goof about famed Marxist postmodern theorist Slavo Žižek.
Yeah, jokes for no one.
Jokes for no
as
one.
That's the show.
But the guy did look like Slavo Žižek.
He did look exactly like Slavo Žižek. Mm-hmm.
Just like redneck Stephen Fry, then we had redneck Slavo Žižek, and there are more similar people that
there
get punched
was,
in the face.
There were three people in this movie who I thought were Joe Don Baker, and none of them were Joe Don Baker.
sure. Yeah, but I just was so confused. So this is how they make money. They go to towns, and he fucks people up, and people bet on them, and he always wins.
Mm-hmm.
And
and since he's an unknown quantity, he gets even money every time. So they clean up. Yeah,
but like I think at one point he literally says like cash is getting low, so they stop in the next town in the world.
Yeah,
and then they organize a street fight, and then him and girlfriend and other guy roll out, and they're like, oh, thank God, we just made that happen in 6 hours.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
See,
what
I had a better way
that?
Of getting money than this in my movie. Mm-hmm.
It's having
That's
a
true.
Job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or winning a dance contest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yours was way better. I forgot about that already, but I fucking love it.
Yeah. It's baffling. Yeah. I don't know. Who else?
Well,
else
so, like, the Nazi element in this. For some reason,
sure.
He keeps getting into fights with this biker gang of Nazis.
And they were like goofy Nazis.
Yeah.
They were like Animal House Nazis, yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, their leader looked like Baron Harkonnen from Dune.
So I had one of these as well. The head Nazi guy.
That was a reference for not anyone on this show.
But, yeah. Nobody's seen Dune? Nobody's read Dune?
No.
Come on.
No. I keep not buying it at the bookstore because I want to do it for the show.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sorry. Well, there's a guy named Baron Harkonnen that looks like that Nazi.
And there's spice and worms or something. That's
spice, true. There are both of those things.
I know there's a big worm after which a hardcore band is named called Shailud. Is the name of the big sandwich.
Oh, that is a good one.
I didn't know that.
That is true. Also.
Also, Sting wears a bikini.
He does.
And nothing else.
Not into that.
Why? Yeah, head biker guy.
Why went out into Sting in a bikini? I don't know.
He does the tantric shit. He'll make you feel
rude. Yeah, he'll make you come for hours.
Make you feel real good.
I guess there's just no accounting for taste. I'm sorry.
There's just no moisture left in your body after that.
Oh, yeah. People have died. People have died.
That's what that Sting song Desert Rose is about.
It really
it's about
is.
Not having anything else come in your body.
It's about my vagina. head Nazi biker guy is the ugliest human that has ever lived in the world. Like, he is amazingly bad.
I like to call him Discipline Daddy Nazi.
Yeah.
Okay,
in our chat, yeah.
yeah. Well, because he wears a leather vest and, like, a Nazi cap with no shirt, but has, a white scarf and, a riding crop that he's constantly whipping stuff with. It's Discipline Daddy Nazi. And
he's also a real bitch. Like, when they fight, he always sits out in the diner and lets everybody else
fight. I thought he was going to be, wicked strong and was going to, do something. No, he's just a bitch.
No, he's a bitch, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This movie's fucking
irredeemable. I don't even know. I just wrote the word what, five times in a row. I don't know what that was in reference to.
I think the only strength of this movie, because, so there's two strengths of this movie. One, there's an orangutan. And two, but they squandered it. They squandered it. It's almost,
they did.
It's,
that's something that,
it may as well not be in the movie.
He's also, really not important.
This feels like the right time. So, Lee, I think you know the most about this. Can you talk about the filming with actual orangutans?
Yeah, so there was the orangutan that they used in this movie was named Mannix, and he was trained on set by his trainer constantly spraying him in the face with mace and alternating that with beating him with a crowbar wrapped in newspaper to soften the blow.
You have bummed me the fuck out.
Yeah, and then in the sequel, there was a different orangutan. Mm-hmm. I assume because Mannix was either dead or had gone to where they send orangutans when they reach sexual maturity and they can't be controlled anymore.
Yeah,
let's say also dead. Yeah,
yeah. But the orangutan that they got to portray Clyde in the sequel, Any Which Way You Can. Was beaten to death on set by his handler when he kept stealing donuts from the craft service table with an axe handle.
He's a star. He should get the fucking donuts.
And beat him to fucking death with an axe handle, which means he already had the axe handle to beat the monkey with.
Jesus Christ.
Who just has an axeless axe handle? That's
how did that guy keep working in Hollywood? What the fuck?
It was the 70s. So, yeah. Well,
apparently
70s, early 80s.
This movie is one of the big reasons that there are, Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals representatives on sets of movies.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So what I was going to say about as a positive is I think the movie has some really good character names. Clint Eastwood's
raping
name is,
around for something redeemable.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood's name is Philo Beto, which is a name that my dad uses to make reservations with, and I had forgotten that.
Wow!
If you run a business in my hometown and somebody makes a reservation under the name Philo Beto or Max Bialystock, it's probably my dad.
Jesus.
Oh my god. Wait, super famous and I didn't know it? Why does he need aliases?
Because in case he wants to cancel it, he doesn't want to screw himself over.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. Okay. He lives in a world where people remember who called them. But
your hometown is kind of, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
At risk of doxing myself, I actually do have a dad with a very famous person's name.
No. You do.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. You do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your dad is Michael B. Jordan?
Yep. Yep. I'm Michael B. Jordan Jr.
Wait, your dad has one name and it's Madonna? Weird.
Who else is a good name?
Guys, if Michael B. Jordan was my dad, I would not be in apartments. I would not be talking to you assholes. Oh, I would be fucking driving.
You'd be watching anime with Michael B. Jordan right now.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
Like, yeah, yeah. Or feeding your pet dolphins. One of the
correct. Yeah.
Feeding your pet dolphin meat that was taken out of tuna nets. Just as
The ultimate recycling.
Also, Clint Eastwood, who Philo Beto, his best friend is Orville, which is a pretty good name. And mm-hmm. Orville on the trip picks up a woman played by Beverly D'Angelo, the mom from the Vacation
movie.
Oh,
shit. I thought you looked familiar. Yeah. That makes much more sense now.
Okay. And her character's name is Echo, which is pretty dope. I don't know. I like it.
These are names that people have.
Echo was probably weird back then. I bet in current day 2018, there's a lot of kids bitten named Echo for sure.
Mostly after this.
So
movie,
there's a lot of really good names. Well,
strong, important character that everybody just wanted to name their kid after her. Oh, well, wait.
No, people be like,
she was a surprisingly strong female character in this movie.
She was. She shot at people a lot.
Yeah.
Bev D. Yeah, she did very well.
She saves their ass at least twice in the movie. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, like, good for that. But
it's very true.
Seth, you had some ape-related issues that you wanted to talk about with this movie.
Yeah, so Clint Eastwood actually made some statements that he loved working with the ape that played Clyde, specifically because you could only do one take with Clyde before he would get bored and, like, stop participating. So he always did only one take. Now, Clint Eastwood, famed director at this point. He always only does one take of every scene he makes.
For only doing one take, yeah.
Yeah, so...
This is my favorite thing.
My conspiracy postulation is that Clint Eastwood learned how to direct from Clyde the orangutan.
Mm-hmm. Wait, do we know if Clyde was racist as shit? Because that would make way more sense.
Clint Eastwood, famous monkey director, Clint Eastwood. He's the only monkey to have won two Best Director Oscars.
Yep.
Oh, fuck Clint Eastwood, man.
He sucks. He sucks a lot.
Oh, man.
So here's a question. If he only does one take and somebody, like, just purposefully fucks it up just to be like a shit, like, oh, I forgot my line, guys, with, like, does that person get fired and then they bring in somebody else?
I think,
or does that
the,
still count as a second shot?
I get the impression that he only works with actors who, like, at the very least feign enough respect for him that they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, oh wait, Clint Eastwood's a megalomaniac? Surprise!
Oh
yeah,
that makes perfect sense.
Because like, I think the only people he ever works with are people who, like, if they fucked up, they're talented enough that the fuck up wouldn't be bad. And it's like, no, it's more like real life.
There's a joke somewhere about the ghost of Barack Obama needing two takes,
chairs and stuff. Yeah, I was trying to work that out. Wasn't there for the chair or something.
What the fuck else about this movie? Because this is
There's like a scene where the bikers get beaten up by a bunch of rednecks. I'm not even sure why they got into a fight, but
Because they're Nazis. They go into the diner and they start giving everybody shit. And then the local dudes are like, "Hey, fuck this noise!" And they're like, "You want to go outside?" And they're all old.
Yeah,
too. They're very old. And I was like, oh, no, the Nazis are going to beat up the
local
guys.
Well, they're old and they're very confident because they tell the waitress, like, We'll be right back. Get me a piece of pie.
Yeah, this will only take a second. And but then they go outside and they kick the fuck out of those Nazis.
What I wrote in my notes was, remember, conservatives, this is how it's done. When you beat up Nazis, not wear them.
Yeah. I was thinking about that because, as you guys know, because several of you also used to live in the town I currently live in. There was a time when people in the South hated Nazis, and it turns out they really like them now.
Yes.
But... Yep. It's crazy that anything that
they have common ground, to be fair, not liking minorities.
I mean, a lot of the incident Nazis came from like the Midwest flyover states, so it's
Like to point out that in this movie, traveling is painted as like something that you can only do on foot, apparently, because they go from the San Fernando Valley to Denver, Colorado, which is at most 17-hour drive, and it takes them
easily
4 weeks, it appears in the movie. Like,
well, they're driving like a camper truck or like a beat up like almost like a record.
It's like a '66 Ford with a camper in the back.
For Clyde.
Yeah.
For Clyde.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about the Clyde is horny subplot?
I think we have to.
Yes. Okay. This was So
here you go, before... Lucas. Here's a treat.
Yeah. All right. So I'll let somebody else do it, but I have to explain my.
Does he jerk off the monkey? I bet he jerks off the monkey.
No, it's worse. It's actually somehow worse. The
monkey.
You can do it because I don't really want to talk about.
I don't want to talk about it either.
So I watched this movie in two parts. I watched one part actually paying attention in the beginning, and then I watched the other part.
Masturbated, and then
taken by the. Okay, well, actually, this is a great time for my
to get through this movie.
Yeah, this is a good time for my three word summary.
I watched it in one
my three word summary is man loves monkey, and then if I get a fourth word, it's sexually. the romance between Clint and Clyde is upsetting, wildly upsetting. there's a part, back to watching. So the second half I was cooking while watching, cause I figured after the first half, I was like, this movie is fucking crazy town. I don't need to actually pay attention. Fuck it. So I was cooking and then I heard the words out of like my peripheral. We need to get, I woke up from a dream and we need to get Clyde laid. And then I was stirring and I thought, wait, Clyde's the monkey. That doesn't hold. What? Yeah. And so I turned to the television and sure enough, they break into a zoo. He takes the monkey to a zoo. They find
I like how you picked up that we need to start calling it an ape, not a monkey, 50 minutes into this.
They find he leads him around to find the other ape enclosure. They think they found it.
Monkey.
He goes, all right, well, that's very good. That's very good.
Call me Gary. Call me Mr. Marshall.
So then he like shoes Clyde into this enclosure, and then there's like a locked door and like a lot of monkey banging, ape banging sounds. And this whole scene takes like 6 or 7 minutes. Like,
and
it's
somehow
fucking
it's after they went to strip clubs for like the, just it was just Clint Eastwood and Clyde going to strip clubs, and
so
then Clint Eastwood is super drunk and is like, oh man, oh Clyde's so horny, we got to take him to the zoo to get poon.
Okay, yeah,
and
no,
somehow
if this movie's a comedy, why don't
the
they get him laid with a human
fucking
woman?
What's that?
Oh my god,
this is a comedy. Why not get him laid with a human?
No,
woman?
That's upsetting.
That seems like comedy in the '70s.
No,
to be fair,
upsetting.
If you're if you're gonna beat monkeys to death in real life, apes. Why not bestiality some monkeys in a movie? God damn it!
The filmmakers, during the ape sex scene had the fucking gall, the unmitigated gall, not to play. In the jungle, the night.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but see, okay, so I had to reassess everything during this scene. I was thinking, like,
wait, did that song exist then?
It's from the 50s.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, so you bring up filmmakers, like that's the thought that I had. I was like, when you get to this point in the filming and you're like, all right, we're having some like tech guy go behind the door and pound on it to simulate ape sex.
Monkey.
Do you...
God, we don't have time for this now. We don't have time anymore.
Do you like go home that night and like pour yourself a glass of whiskey and go like, what the fuck are we doing?
What are we even doing? This is another thing I found out about the behind the scenes on this movie. There were more crew suicides on this movie than any movie ever.
Whoa! Wowie zowie. I was not expecting that.
I made that up just now, but like, oh, maybe you it's motherfucker! True. Oh.
No, I buy it. Oh, I totally
you pulled
buy it.
A airports in Vermont on me. You son of a bitch!
No, that is true. That is true. That's a fact. We've established.
Mm-hmm. No, like, so I guess I feel like I don't, is there anything like really important that anybody still wants to talk about with this shit show?
Jim Croce, really. Or a guy who looked an awful lot like Jim Croce, was the meatpacking factory.
Okay, I wrote. Well, I think he was dead by 1978.
Oh, he was long dead, but, you know.
I do have my list of other plots that I wanted to go through.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really quick before that, I wanted to say, not only did this movie get a sequel, but this movie and the sequel are the two, after inflation, highest grossing Clint Eastwood movies of all time.
Wait, and the sequel.
Movies with monkeys.
Apes.
Wait, the sequel was his second highest grossing?
Uh-huh. Oh, as an actor.
That's insane.
As an actor, yeah.
Oh, right, we talked about that. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did so many westerns. Like, the second highest grossing movie of 1978, like for some reason. So like the second highest grossing movie of 1977 is Smokey and the Bandit. 1978 is Every Which Way But Loose. What was it about 1977 and 78 that everybody was like, we need a movie about a trucker doing something weird?
So, yeah, I was going to say, this feels like Smokey and the Bandit, but with a monkey and shittier. Like, it had very many of the same... God damn it! It had a lot of the same hallmarks, though. Like,
when you
release
this on iTunes, Zach, the description just needs to say ape or monkey. That's it. Just that's it.
Oh my god.
Boy. Let's get to something actually fun, Lucas. Do that thing.
Okay. Yeah. So the first one on the list was just the one that I did. Basically, it's just a road trip movie, comma with a monkey.
Ape.
Yeah.
Wait, was that the?
I'm gonna say monkey like four times in the next 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
First one you came up with? Was this your first idea, and then you came back to it, or?
I think it was. Yeah. It was.
Every which way
I think you nailed it.
And then there was a buddy cop comedy with a monkey, like for the monkey set.
Oh, yeah. That would be very good for apes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that exists almost. Like, that's got to have been a thing.
Yeah.
There's
have
a movie called Monkey Trouble
says...
that might be that plot. I think it's a little girl who does a lot of shoplifting, though. I might be wrong.
Okay.
What's 12 monkeys about?
I have a note under that one that just says monkey in a hat, which I like a lot.
Oh, ape.
It's a bit shallow, but it's promising. Yeah, yeah.
Listen, you can't correct what I have in my notes. I had monkey in a hat.
Oh, no, no, no. No, and that is on par for the movie that exists in the world. I think they were like, monkey trucks fights.
Ape trucks.
Have money. Have money.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dance contest was also one of the ideas, but it would have been like the whole movie, and that got
like step it up to the streets with a monkey.
Yeah.
Ape.
Step it up to the jungle.
I thought the idea of an orangutan in like a sequin dress was really funny, especially if it was a male orangutan.
Oh yeah,
yeah, I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the explanation of the
title TBS in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the explanation of the title was going to be that. The man's dancing style is too loose and needs to be literally any other which way.
I really like that. That's very
good. So thus far, that's the idea with the most title in it, for sure.
Yeah. I also had The Sandlot, but with a monkey, where the kids use the monkey to try to hook up with girls and they, you know, play with firecrackers and shit. And...
Oh my god, wait, this goes so deep. Can we Goonies with a monkey? Like, oh god,
This is the thing. Take any movie that kind of rules and add a monkey to it and it will
god. Oh my god.
Listen, it doesn't have to be an ape. We can add a capuchin
over.
To something. We can add a chimpanzee. It doesn't matter.
A chimpanzee is an ape.
Yeah, I said it didn't matter. Calm down.
Okay. Do you have any more?
The other thing I would definitely... Well, I have one more, but the other thing that would definitely happen in the Sandlot one is the monkey would definitely take a bikini top off a woman, either a bikini top or a towel.
Oh, for sure.
And there would be tits, for sure. And the last one I didn't flesh out at all, but if I didn't mention it, would be...
Yeah, you'd be remiss.
Just a terrible shame. I wrote Pretty Woman with a monkey.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Of course, yes.
Okay, so that was the whole list.
Pretty
monkey, walking down the street.
Oh, the radio edit is terrible.
No, I just like background singers going ape in the background.
Yep. Oh my god. So wait, so when you joked earlier that you could have won the Oscar 5 years in a row, but like if you did all those movies in succession,
I don't know,
maybe.
Maybe.
Okay, so Seth, you wanna get to the ratings? What do you think? Yeah, on the scale of 1 to 10, it is that.
Oh my god. Okay. Well, Lucas, you had a reasonably coherent plot, so that's a big plus. I like.
Are you just going with horse noise for the original?
Well, no, I'll get to how much I hate that, but
okay.
I like the dancing and that's, I mean, I don't know. This movie just I just can't anymore. So Lucas, you get
a bitter taste in your mouth.
Yeah. So Lucas, you're gonna get like a 5.5 because like I would watch this movie, but I don't really like it.
Okay.
As for the real movie, oh god, what a steaming pile of putrid garbage. Not even a possum, the most horrifying mammal of North America, would want to dwell in anywhere near it.
That's a weird rating scale, but okay. Yeah. Which garbage animal would like this the most? From one to garbage animal.
you have possums, which are, let's say, pretty
They're
low.
Terrible.
Yeah,
they're stupid.
Very
yeah.
horrifying. Yeah. You have trash pandas, which are pretty high up there.
They're smart, at least.
Oh, they're the top of the scale.
I mean, bears are up there, too.
Well, if we're going full country, like, armadillos are the dumber possums in the South.
And they all have, what, like, leprosy or something?
One of my band names is Leprosy Armadillo. Yeah, they do, I think they do bluegrass covers of my other band, Nightmare Factory. Who does death metal covers of my other band, The Horror Plantation.
Oh my god. Wait, there's a hierarchy of cover bands?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
We also have a band called...
I'm not aware of any of this.
Yeah. We also have a band called Curious Buttonage that does Gregorian chant covers of...
They do Gregorian chant covers in the polyphonic mass style.
But all right, if this is like a translation,
that's a joke for you music majors out there.
After the Gregorian chant, it all becomes noise, right? Like you can't cover Gregorian chant; it's just noise.
No, well, I mean, they're all derivatives of the Horror Plantation. So
of the Scorpions.
I was going to ask where this started. Are they all just like? Is the first one a Creed cover band, and then everyone else covers them?
Well, we have a number of songs like Circle Toast, Re-Bageled, which, you know, because most of the places I've lived, we don't really have bagels. We have Circle Toast.
Remember, like, a couple seconds ago when we said if we just do the ratings, we'll finish the show on time?
I don't, but you're right. You're right.
Oh, all right. Well, This current presidency of a movie is I'm gonna give this like a 1.2
I guess if I take that on differential, I can move out of my 5.5
Oh yeah. Oh for sure.
All right. Well, which one of you two fools wants to go next?
Ali, you go for it.
Okay.
Go nuts, giggles.
So first, I think. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I don't do it that way usually, but today that's how I'm doing it. I feel
like you do usually do it first. That's why I was confused.
Yeah. So the real movie's a real fucking piece of shit. I have to say, Clint Eastwood is a terrible person. He's an awful director. He didn't direct this movie, but this movie's garbage. Like, in a world where there's a movie that exists with Clint Eastwood driving around with a fucking orangutan getting into bare-knuckle boxing fights, and for me to not like it, you done did wrong.
Right. When you explain it so succinctly as that, it sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it sounds hilarious, but it wasn't. It was the opposite of that.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
This movie somehow made a shitload of money, and I want to kill myself because of it. So,
wowzers.
I would give this movie a 0.8, but I thought the names were good. So it's a 1. It's a full-on just 1.
Okay. Point two bump. That's good. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Point two bump for the names. Lucas. Yep. You know I fucking love a monkey in a dress.
That's a good point.
You know I love... You
I
know
probably
I love
should rate it higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know I love...
Yeah, a literal banana peel pratfall.
Yeah. You know I love banana peel pratfall. And you know I love a Brian Cox staring down the barrel of a camera.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
I'm really tempted here, guys, and I don't know if I can stop myself. I'm so excited.
You just did this week. You just did a 10 this week. Don't give me a 10.
I'm so excited. I'm going to give you the coveted 10. I got to
do
it.
Oh, my God.
I appreciate it.
Ooh, all right. 9-point differential.
Dr. Seth Horse Noise weighs in on his
I mean, I do appreciate Lee's points about, you know, the orangutan in a dress.
And banana peel pratfalls.
I was specifically picking out these things that were like, this thing with a monkey is great.
Ape. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna bump you up. You get another point.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Still very squarely in the lead at that point.
there would have to be something astonishing would have to happen right now.
Oh no! Zach has been disqualified for doping.
I'm the French judge in the Olympics,
Are you talking about the 2002 Salt Lake City Olympics for the Paris figure skating when David Salle and Jamie Peltier were robbed out of a gold medal?
Is exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you. Yes.
Actually, I think it was Jamie Peltier.
I love when you make the most obscure references in the world and somebody else goes, yes, exactly that.
Yeah. Well, we're all figure skating people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why?
What? Because it's super fun super and they're dope. Super awesome athletes.
Watch Nathan Chen throw 6 quads in 1 long program.
Yeah, fucking 6 quads, bro.
6.
Yeah, I did, but okay.
All right, so this is not a joke. I wrote this down when I finished watching the movie. I'm rating this movie on a scale of 1 to 10, monkey. Because it doesn't belong on a scale from 1 to 10. It doesn't.
You hear that. Doesn't. You heard that here first, folks. Zach rated it ape.
Yeah, but ape.
But how does that like quantitate the difference between my score and this one?
Let's say somewhere near 0, I would say.
Okay. it's division by 0, it's undefined.
Yeah, it's asymptotically approaching 0.
Yeah. No, it's a 2D graph, and this one went straight Z axis on that. Like, it's insane. I just, I kept waiting for it to make any sense whatsoever or explain anything, and it didn't. And it's not even a movie. It's so stupid.
Did we mention this takes 2 hours to get through? Like,
my God, it feels like a lifetime.
I want to,
it's terrible.
Some people wait a lifetime for a movie like this.
Oh dear. No, they don't. No one does. No one does.
Anyway,
Lucas, I think your movie fell into the often used and much appreciated category of plays on TBS several times in a row situation.
Love me, I think we
very much enjoy. Yeah,
but it's got to be like a disappointingly edited down version because I'm thinking there needs to be like tits in this movie.
Some
and
raunch?
Of,
yeah.
The monkey smoking cigarettes and people cussing each other.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
This is a cooler raunch Doritos of a movie. Yeah, I got
you. There you go. I'm totally into it. I'd give it... I mean, it's not... It was by no means a good movie, but I think...
Hey, fuck you.
You far outweighed the OG, so... I thought it was a good movie,
but, you know...
I'll give you a
Lee,
give
we
you
should
six.
You should quit this podcast and go start one with me, because fuck these guys.
They don't appreciate my art, Lucas.
Well, me and Seth could do the science hour. Yeah. Hashtag on the job market. I'll give you a six on that one. I think it's entirely reasonable.
Yeah.
Yep.
I still decidedly win.
Oh, my God.
Oh, by a mile. Victory. Oh, by a mile, yes.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Oh, God, what a shitty shit.
This is like shit movie. So Lee said it in the beginning, but like this, I think honestly might have been worse than Chinatown. Like it was very bad.
It was definitively worse than Chinatown. Yeah.
So the next time you guys invite me back, what other movie do you just viscerally hate that I could make A, make you watch, and B, do a lot better than?
Yeah, we're going to have to really work that one out. I don't know.
That's tough. That's a really good point. Yeah.
We have set a good man in Africa for me, but...
Oh.
Okay. Keep push pin in that right. one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So next week, Seth is doing... I'm very excited about this. Buffalo 66.
I'm not very excited about this. Yeah.
All right. I won't give anything away, but I like the person that is associated with this more
Shut
than
up,
any
Zach.
Human
You're an
shit.
Idiot.
I know.
You like this person.
It is not a popular
How do you
opinion.
Like this fucking person.
It's like watching a car crash. It's
right.
every time.
You guys are giving me too many details because now I think it's a biopic. And
oh, it's not. It's definitely
it's
not.
It's not. Wow. It's just the star.
Well, I mean, I guess all of his movies are technically a biopic, but
you need to
should
stop.
Be fun.
I know, Seth, I know that at the end of the fucking day, you're going to write a movie about someone frying buffalo wings at 66 degrees, and just the movie will be the amount of time that it takes to accomplish that.
Oh, man. Imagine how long those wings are going to have to be in that 66 degree oil. Whoo! Whoo!
Let's say eternity. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a good movie.
That seems good. Mm-hmm. Well, Lucas, you fucking knocked it out of the park. You
Hell
just
yeah.
really did it. You
Hell
did the
yeah.
thing. You did the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although I think two of you gave me lower ratings than the first time I was here.
Well, but I mean,
different movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay. You really stacked the deck on this one. Yeah.
That was the goal.
Every which way but loose, man.
Yep. Ape.